you think life is simpler after you retire? For some, it's actually more complicated when facing issues about health, estate plans, probate, long-term care, and more. That's why attorney CPA Joe Cordell hosts Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors and an open forum for older adults with important questions about their future. Here's attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Welcome to another episode of Elder Talk. This is Joe Cordell with my faithful co-host, Susan Arthur. Susan, we have a guest this week that I think our listeners will find very, very interesting, because what do you think more about when you think of retirement than travel? Mm-hmm. I mean, travel for many people is the one thing they most looked forward to as they worked those day in and day out weeks in which they were thinking about what will I do when I have more time on my hands, and many of them have dreams and goals of traveling. Tell us about our guest.
Our guest today is Cecilia Fallert, and she is a retired high school teacher, a journalist, a grandmother of seven, ranging in age from 9 to 14, and she is an avid traveler.
Was that raging or ranging?
Ranging. Did
okay.
I say that?
Go ahead.
Rage. She is an ambassador for Rhodes Scholar Learning Adventures and has been on 12 different continuing education trips, including several intergenerational trips with her grandchildren. What a great way to spend retirement.
Welcome, Cecilia. Now, let me clarify something, because people are hearing the word Rhodes Scholar. Here's one thing that's really clever about this organization, is the way this is spelled is R-O-A-D, mm-hmm. Rhodes Scholar. In other words, people who learn as they travel. And while the organization is not specifically for older people, I'm sure that many, and certainly most, of their clientele are people probably over 55 who have the opportunity to learn and travel and who are very interested. I don't want to pick on millennials too much here, but I sometimes can't resist. And that's that I think that many people above 55 really appreciate the opportunity to learn when they travel. I mean, whenever I heard of your organization, it really resonated with me. And I know many of the people I know who are at 60 and above are thinking, wow, what a great way to travel is to travel while you have people to teach you things and you can learn about the world. I think that's very important to older people as they look at how to spend their time. Do you agree, Cecilia?
Yes, I agree. And you have not just people coming in from the community and talking to you when you go on a Rhodes Scholar trip, but they bring in experts.
So explain the Rhodes Scholar program and how it works.
Rhodes Scholar most probably would be more recognizable as Elder Hostel. That was the name until a few years ago. It has been around for 41 years and offers 5,500 learning experiences.
5,500?
Right, around the world. For example, they were one of the first. They're going into Cuba before Cuba was really opened up.
Wow.
Because they were doing learning experiences. And you're right, it is geared toward older people, 55 and older. But on some of my trips, I have seen seniors, you know, a lady who brought two younger daughters who were in their 30s. And they had just as much fun as the rest of the people, even though they were much younger.
And that would be a great way to do it, is mm-hmm. to bring your grandkids or even your children, too.
What a great memory.
Yeah.
I mean, go home, make your scrapbook. You know, you've got a great memory with a parent or a grandparent. Can't imagine.
Be now, great. Now, Cuba is pretty adventurous, at least it was at that time. So you have things ranging from the very adventurous, maybe the very ambitious in that way, to those that are for the more, shall I say, sedentary. You have your educational trips range. Give us examples of the types of trips you do.
You have some options. You can go on the Rhodes Scholar website, and they actually have a search engine that pops up right away, and you can type in where you want to go. Okay?
Mm. So if something's always been on your bucket list, if I want to
go to Austria.
I always want to go to Austria because my grandfather came from Austria.
Right.
So I could type in Austria and learn about all about the culture. And.
But do you show levels of difficulty?
Yes.
Because some people can walk a lot and some
can't.
Right.
And that is a part of it. They will show whether they're very active, because they do a lot like in the different canyons, Zion. You know, I went to the Grand Canyon with one of my grandkids, and we actually did whitewater rafting. It was mud water rafting on the Colorado River at the bottom of the canyon. So they do have like this is very active, this is not very active. And then they have one as close as Potosi at the YMCA Lodge. You're probably familiar with that.
Trout Lodge.
I'm not, but yeah. You are.
Okay, Trout Lodge in Potosi, yeah.
Right, and they will go and just share stories for the week. That's what they do, and so it's pretty sedentary. I did take one trip to New York City, and one of the couples was very much older. They were in their 80s. So when we went to the Met, we walked through Central Park for about 30 minutes, and our instructor, he was a New Yorker, of course, and he pointed out things. But this 80-year-old, they provided a golf cart, and they took them on a ride through the park. So they do accommodations. But yes, it has in the catalogs and also on the website what type of activity there is.
Wow, I'm looking at this large, thick publication.
All free, yeah, you know, if they want to.
Says Rhodes Scholar on it, North America. See, this thing is huge.
And those are just the North America trips?
Yeah,
there's
also
all
these
one
pages.
Just as big for international.
And now this is for the North America, so this has Canada and then each of the states. And so all these are educational trips.
Right.
How do you define it? Give our audience an example of what educational means.
Well, I have some nieces who live in the Washington, D.C. area, and the three of them on their own went to Mount Rushmore, the Badlands, all through that area. And they kind of, you know, him and Hodden laughed a little bit at the people on the bus doing the tours. But they didn't know what they saw. Mm-hmm. And then one of them went back with her husband, who is dealing with the early stages of Parkinson's disease. And they took the Rhodes Scholar trip. And she said she had no idea. They told you the history of where you were. You know, you actually had people who live there would come in and talk to you about what went on in that region, how people lived. So that's what you learn. You learn where you are and what you are doing without reading a brochure. You actually interact with people.
And so when you travel outside the United States, you will have people who are experts in these areas of
right.
wherever you're going, and they make it a point to teach?
Yes. Some friends and I went to Mackinac Island last year, and that is wonderful. It's up where... It looks where the bow tie is in the Great Lakes. You have Huron on one side and Michigan on the other, and about as far as everybody's heard of Mackinac Island with the carriages.
No cars,
and, yeah, no cars and everything. We actually had the historian for the island who came and talked to us several times and took us on walking tours around the island. And then we were there during their Lilac Festival, which is a real big deal for them. And the guy who did... He lives in New Jersey now, out east, you know. He actually walked us around and told us about all the different types of lilacs and everything. So it's those type of experiences.
And I'm thinking more of the international travel as I look at these. And I know I was amazed at the options you have for international travel. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to go to Israel, the Holy Land, or if you're more interested in Europe, I mean, just a broad array of choices. So tell me about this organization. Is this a for-profit organization?
No, that's what I was going to tell you. One of the things I think as a senior, meaning, you know, I'm 70 now when I turn 60, 65, was you want to travel, but when you get into the reality of it, travel is a very expensive thing to do. Well, Rhodes Scholar is a not-for-profit, and they keep the costs down. You may not stay in a four-star hotel. For example, when I went to New York City, we stayed in the New Yorker. We did not stay. It's an Art Deco, older hotel, but very, very nice. Mm-hmm. We did not, you know, pay those big bucks.
You didn't stay in Trump Tower.
Right. You got it. So they know things, and they know where you should stay and where you should eat and everything. But they keep the cost down, and so that's very important.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah, it also includes your cost, includes all of your experts, all your tipping. You don't do any tipping. Most meals, like 3/4 to 7/8 of your meals, you get there on your own, which I like because I have all these miles, you know, with my card.
So in other words, they're not charging you for the air travel. You
No.
can line that up yourself.
Right. Or you can drive if it's close enough. You can drive. We drove to Mackinac because it's 10 hours straight up.
Yeah.
What about safety? I mean, do they address the safety concerns in some of these international things, or do they take that into account?
Yes, they've been doing this for so long. You know, I was on one of the grandparent trips in Sedona, and we went to Montezuma's Well. Montezuma's Well, it's a national monument, and it had the outdoor bathrooms. And I said, oh, you know, this is not very pleasant. And they said, oh, you should smell Africa. And I said, oh, really? And they said, yeah, but that's the best trip you'll ever take. Huh. And they'd taken it with Rhodes Scholar. So they, because they are 41 years old, they have changed as the times have changed. Do you follow what I'm saying?
So the organization's 41 years old.
Right. And they have their all their contacts and everything, so they're very aware of the safety issues.
Mm-hmm. So in people who do this, do they join Rhodes Scholar? I mean, is this an organization you join, or do you just get their catalog or go on website?
You can just get their catalog, and you can sign up for it on website. And you said, is it a for-profit or not? It is a not-for-profit, so it's .org. And it's one word, Rhode, R-O-A-D, as you pointed out. I love, though, that people think that I'm that smart that I'm going to be a Rhodes Scholar and go to Great Britain or something.
Uh-huh.
ROADscholar.org. And you can sign up for catalogs there, or you can call their 800 number. Can I give that now?
Yes, go ahead.
800-454-5768. And that will, of course, you can order the catalogs. I like the catalogs because I like to have them sitting around, and I can pick them up and look at some of the trips and things.
And it's so hard to find something printed these days because everyone, you know, uses online things.
Website.
But these are very large publications. This is not 8.5 by 11. This must be, 14 by what?
By 18?
Well, no, I'd say 14 by 10 or so. So this is really an impressive-looking publication.
Yeah, it's attractive, isn't it? And if you look at one of the entries, you ask about how active you have to be and all of that. It does tell you. If you look, it gives you an overview of the activities, mm-hmm. the cost, and then they'll tell you how active you have to be.
And so it says here, Rhodes Scholar. Now, this is the international publication. So
right,
you have the Rhodes Scholar North America, for those of you who just want to stay here at home, so to speak, and travel, including Canada, and just a ton of trips. And meanwhile, there's this other one that says Rhodes Scholar International, and this has learning adventures in more than 100 countries.
I want to point out that most of the North American trips are no more. They're right around $1,000.
For how long?
For 6 days, but that's include your in bookends, your travel days on the end.
Uh-huh.
So you're really there like 5 nights, and you're full of activities for that time.
And so that includes meals, your hotel.
Right.
Your experiences, activities, et cetera.
Right.
You can't do much better than that.
I was going to say, that's actually pretty good.
Because the hotel is normally just,
right.
just 200 a mm-hmm. night.
Especially in some of these bigger cities. One question I have is, what are some types of examples where there's maybe some hands-on types of things? So like going and listening to some of the experts, but are there some hands-on things where you're actually involved rather than maybe just looking at things, or you're actually doing some things? Is that some of the options that are there?
Well, that's more so with the grandchildren. They have the trips are called intergenerational trips that I do with my grandchildren. I have 7 grandchildren, and they've just rotated very nicely into the 9 to 14, or the age groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've finished 4 trips. And the first one was to Sedona and the Grand Canyon. And others were like to Universal Studios for Harry Potter Week. And snorkeling in Key Largo. And I'd always wanted to go down to the Keys, and we went down to Meridian Marathon, that's what it is, in the mid-key, so you could relate all to that. But some of them, they actually hike on the trips, and they have birding trips. They have camera trips, you know, where you go and you take pictures. And then my first introduction to Rhodes Scholar was on a trip on my bicycle on the Katy Trail.
Oh.
And I had moved to St. Charles County. I live in St. Peter's. And I wanted to know about the area, and of course that's so historic with Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
So we rode right at 100 miles on our bicycles. And, I mean, it was one experience after the other there with historians and everybody along the Missouri River.
Well, and I'm looking, too, as you're talking at this, at the international trips, too. They have this Galapagos Islands, mm-hmm. Survival of the Fittest, hiking, biking, and water sports. Now, that would probably be for those more fit.
Right, and that's
travelers.
Why you have, yeah.
And Living and Learning in Paris, Independent Stay and Language Study. Similar one in Florence. Boy, Florence, now that'd be a great mm-hmm. trip. We've been there once, but you can't soak in Florence in one trip. But I think of many people who retire and they just commit to taking some time to travel versus, I mean, you could easily just vegetate in retirement. Mm-hmm. And I just have to believe that's not healthy. And the thing about travel, and I'm a huge fan of travel, is that it challenges you. It challenges your thinking. It challenges you physically to some extent. And it'll, I'm convinced, allows you to stay healthier than if you weren't challenged with new experiences. There's something about, you know, how the brain responds to mm-hmm. those new things. And figuring things out, just as you would on a trip. You're challenged in ways that they don't feel uncomfortable. Sometimes they do. But even when they don't, you know, you're still using your brain and using your body in ways that if you stayed at home, you probably were not.
Mm-hmm. And looking at subway information, we were in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago, and I thought, okay, this doesn't look like the Metrolink. Okay, let me think this through. And again, it's keeping your mind going, keeping yourself active, trying to just figure things out as opposed to just sitting at home and watching television.
And yet many people, though, they are on a budget. So I know some people are sitting listening to
this.
That's
why this is really good, because they do keep the cost down on these trips.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure some people would hear that we were going to talk about travel today mm-hmm. during retirement would think, well, that must be for the people who have lots of disposable income. But actually, Road Scholar, I'm sure it does have people who have more disposable income, but it also has a lot of people who are living on a pretty tight budget in retirement, and they see Road Scholar as a chance to enjoy retirement.
That's right. That's the way I view it. I mean, there are very few trips where you can get so much out of a trip. And, for example, my sister and I went to Washington, D.C., and it was called Memorial Washington. As I said, I have family in D.C., so I've been there a million times, but I went with my sister. We had a bus where if you try to do it on your own, you will never get up to these memorials. Well, the bus driver knew exactly how to get us right to those memorials. We were at the Lincoln Memorial. We were at the Air Force. We were at Martin Luther King. We were at the Vietnam mm-hmm. Wall Memorial. We were all over the place. We were in the Library of Congress. We sat in the Supreme Court chambers. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. We were in Capitol Hill, you know.
So now tell me about that. We'll use that trip as an example. How many nights were you there? Do you remember?
We were there five nights. It's usually 6 days, the trip.
And how much did that cost you?
It's probably in there. The most I remember, maybe.
Ballpark.
$1,400.
So that's a little more than $1,000, you think?
Yeah.
And so you stayed at what hotel? Do you remember?
Yes, it was a like a Radisson, but it was right at the airport, because it was really funny, because my nieces and nephews, when their mother passed away, that's the hotel where they put me up, where they advised that I stay, very like a mile from Reagan.
So it was a nice hotel?
Yes.
And of course, the airport's close in there, so when you say you're at the airport, you're not far from the
So you can get a ride from the airport, you know, to the hotel.
And how many people were in your group?
It was between 30 and 40, and that was a very large group. Usually the groups are around 30. Even the grandparent trips, you'll have like 15 sets of grandparents and grandchildren.
Wow. So that often on a trip like that, you'd see a lot of grandkids.
Right.
Along.
Right.
Okay, so let's say 30 people is common on a trip.
Yes.
And you will have someone who is appointed to meet you each day. How does that work?
Oh, yes. We have a group leader. Our group leader was retired from the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. And he worked in Washington, knew the Library of Congress, and, you know, knew all the monuments. He'd done this trip so many times before, and he knew how to get around. He knew what was going on in Washington. It's usually someone who lives in that locale, you know.
I see. So that's the advantage to your lining up your own travel. For example, the same way to, say, if you're going to Rome or Paris, is you can line up, shop your own deals for airline, which I think many people agree that you can often get your better, an excellent deal. Mm-hmm. And yet when you get there then, so the people that they're paying to take care of you are people that really are going to pick you up from there.
Yes.
So when you arrive in a particular city, have you flown into a city and did someone meet you when you got there, or how did you connect with the group?
When we were in Key Largo, and if you know anything about the Keys, they're well south of Miami. We flew into the Miami airport. And then you're in a van or some kind of transportation for over an hour. And, of course, you have all the fences that say the Everglades, you know, and everything on each side. So you're going down to the Keys. So our group leaders did actually meet us at the airport, load us in vans, and it was, you know, included in the cost, and took us down. And that was beautiful. We stayed in condos right on the ocean. Of course, you know, in the Keys, it's mangroves and it's not exactly beaches. Everybody thinks of beaches in all the water, but the Keys are limestone. Isn't that what they're made out of? They're made out of some kind of
so now tell me rock. On a typical trip like that, how many hours of each day might be available for these educational tours or excursions?
Okay.
And when do those start? Typically in the morning, and I assume that you have a breakfast that'll be provided at the hotel.
Right, you're given a booklet that outlines everything day to day.
And your itinerary.
Right, I'm looking right now at the one from the Intergenerational, where we went to Universal Studios and did a Harry Potter week, and that was really neat. That had all of them have special features, but breakfast was in the hotel. And it was like 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning. And you would, if you were going to the park at Universal Studios, you would board the bus, say, by 10. You would have to be on the bus and ready to go.
So nobody had to get up too early in the morning on these trips with the intergenerational teenagers.
So is that typical then that you will typically have till 10 before you leave in the morning?
9 or 10. It's courting. You know we're not going to have that when we're working in Pasadena on those floats for the Rose Bowl. That's going to be early. And then we also have seats for the parade and the bleachers. Well, how soon you think they're going to – you've seen those people sleeping on the concrete. We're not going to do that. We'll be in a hotel, but we're going to be early out.
So this is a Rhodes Scholar trip.
Yes.
And you go to Pasadena.
Right.
And you participate in helping with the parade?
Yeah. You actually work on a float.
Huh.
But you also go to the band competition. They have like 19 bands that they've invited, and they're in competition. Mm-hmm. You do. Our leader is a former Rose Bowl queen, the one who's going to lead us. She's a local girl.
So she's got all the ins and outs.
Yeah, she does all the ins and outs.
So it sounds like you've done mostly domestic travel with Rhodes Scholar.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
To some of our listeners, incidentally, that's precisely what they would want, is they'd want to only travel in North America. But what's exciting to me more is about the international travel, and there's an equal amount of both in this organization.
Right, and the people who have done the international, I was a school teacher, so I did Europe like 4 times, but I did it with school groups.
Oh, yeah.
You know, teenage groups and like that. And then on my own, my daughter graduated from Webster University, and you know they have the international campuses.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so she studied in the Netherlands, and we went over there for Europe. So we did it in other ways.
Right.
But I've done my domestic travel mostly through Rhodes Scholar.
So can we go back to kind of like walk us through the entire day, go through their outline? So they leave around 10, so breakfast is provided. What would be some examples of things that you would be doing throughout the Harry Potter week at Universal Studios?
Okay, I wish I'd brought one of the other books, but we had breakfast at the hotel, and it was not on the grounds of Universal Studios. Of course, that saves a few bucks, but it was a nice Holiday Inn type hotel within distance of
right
the
there.
Park. Yes. Mm-hmm. Then we went over to, after breakfast, we went to over to Universal Studios and had a behind-the-scenes tour.
Okay.
We always get to do things that other people don't do, like the people who are walking through the gate at Universal Studios that they are not going behind the scenes.
So you think part of that is because this is a not-for-profit organization,
and because they've done it for years, and they have all the contacts down, and the people who guide the tours know the area, they're from the area, and they know how to get things done. I think those are the reasons, really.
Hmm.
Then we'd have lunch at the Three Broomsticks, and that's where my grandson had his first butter beer.
Butter beer.
Yeah, I was excited. Do you know Harry Potter? And then we were free to go around the park. Now, this is just because the park was, you know, we were at the park for the afternoon. And then we had dinner out on the city walk and went to the park there in Orlando. So we do other things. Now,
What about people who can't walk much on these trips?
They always have accommodations.
Okay.
Now, they're hopefully not going to pick an active trip, but they always have accommodations for them.
So each trip, though, is given a grade in that respect. I see. I'm looking here at this at this one publication, and then there's active. And I guess that is a clue to you that if you don't want to walk, maybe that's not the right one.
Right.
Now, have you, obviously you've traveled some with your grandchildren, but you've mentioned some trips that you specifically have been on. Have you ever traveled as a solo traveler?
Yes.
And then how does that work? Do they pair you
up
with someone?
It's fine. When I first came to this area, to St. Charles especially, I signed up for the Rhodes Scholar. It's always sponsored, if you notice in those books, by a university or a college. There's always somebody with education in their name behind them.
Behind each trip, you're saying, each individual trip.
Right, and they plan it. And the St. Charles Community College, it's a beautiful little college out not too far from me, sends out a Learning to Live or something, Live to Learn brochure, and they had the bike trip in it. And that's the way I first got in with, I thought this would, like I said, be a good area. And I went by myself. And I roomed with a girl from Wisconsin, one of Paul Ryan's friends, it turns out. She was always getting phone calls from this young congressman, this young senator.
Huh.
And she was just really into biking, and she'd done most of the Rhodes Scholar bike trips because the rails to trails, there are just so many of them. There's one in Iowa, I think, where they go through corn forever. You know, there are all kinds of bike trips all over the place, and this was the one that she wanted to do at that particular time. So she drove down from.
And so on these trips, though, you typically meet people. Do you often maintain relationships with these people for beyond the trip?
The first bike trip, I met a girl who had retired and was in Phoenix, Arizona, and we became roommates for the next trip.
So often people who go on one trip, there's a good chance you'll run into some of these same people later.
Well, one of them, you know how small the world is.
Yeah.
One of them
in this area
had a daughter who lived in a few blocks from me in St. Peter's. And so when they would come to town, they're retired in Florida, she and her husband would call me all the time. And I would go with them, you know, go see them. And that went on for years. And
so now you are what would be considered a ambassador for Rhodes Scholar.
It's a volunteer position. And when they initiated it like 2 years ago, I called him right away and said, I'll do that. You know, I don't have any trouble talking, being a former teacher and everything. Mm-hmm. So I will be happy to be an ambassador. And I have gotten calls from headquarters. It's in Boston is the headquarters. A couple times to do things in this area because I think I may be the only ambassador in the St. Louis area.
Wow. And explain what an ambassador is.
Just unpaid. Well, nobody's paid except the people in the office in Boston. You know, it's not for profit. I'm just a volunteer who believes in the organization and what it does for.
So you, as a ambassador, though, you agree to make yourself available to talk to groups or to do
talk
radio
to you.
Shows.
Yes, that's right.
And so you do that regularly in the St. Louis area?
If I wasn't traveling so much, I would do it more. And that is the truth. I do
You're
so
on the
much
trips.
Travel. Yeah.
I can see the real advantage to this between, you know, I'm not that great at planning vacations because I look online and I go for, is that really close? How far away are we? Having somebody else take care of all of those details, I may spend a couple hundred dollars more, but to me, it would be worth it. Because I'll be honest, I have picked some clunkers of hotels for our family. I picked one that it leaked and it was a mess, and we had a puddle in the floor, and it was like, oh my word. And so to have something where they've checked it out, they know the places, they know the good places to go. And this Washington, D.C. trip, I was talking with someone recently who was helping to plan one for a school group. And she said you had to call. I mean, like at some point they would open up reservations for, say, the Washington Monument. And if you didn't call that day at that particular time, and there was about a 10-minute window, otherwise, you were gone for the year. I mean, yeah. you could not get on these
uh-huh. things. I mean, you've got to have somebody who's a professional.
And so to see all of these things, we got to do some of those other things, but it took someone hours upon hours upon hours of work to get it planned. And here they're going to do it for you. I'm all for that.
Well, and I know some people, you know, the spectrum of people who like group trips where there's a lot of plans and where they're as everything is in place so that you know where to go, when to be there. You can expect the vehicle to arrive when just as you're leaving wherever you have been. And then there are others who figure, well, no, I can put this together. Mm-hmm. You know, I can stitch this thing together. And often, though, whenever you're putting things together and you're not a professional, it's just not going to go as well. And you lose the economies of scale. I mean, there's a reason that travel organizations, in this case a not-for-profit one, but there's a reason that they're able to get prices that are often very, very good, mm-hmm. is that they have the economies of scale. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of groups that put together these trips, and especially with an emphasis on education. I mean, I really love to learn on trips, and I think many of our listeners probably agree that it just makes a trip that's so much more interesting when you have experts available to teach you.
And these are just, I mean, just wonderful trips. I've had so many good experiences. The Washington, there were some places where you would have to pay an admission, and I wanted to tell you, you know, the Metropolitan Museum, all of those places where you'd have to pay, Road Scholar has prepaid all of those. Those are included in your mm-hmm. price of your trip. And that means a lot, too, that mm-hmm. you don't have to fool with those types of
And so money. tell me how then the meals work. So you'll be in at least, sounds like I'd use the phrase, a three-star hotel, meaning a nice hotel,
that they're very, you know, they're very comfortable at putting you in.
Okay, and then so tell me about the meals.
Usually they're catered by the hotel or some outside person. Now, when we were in Washington, it was really neat because we were staying right by the airport, right Reagan, right in Arlington is where we were staying. Mm-hmm. And we could walk, and so they knew what restaurants in that area were good. And every evening we walked to a restaurant. And it was always a nice restaurant. Hmm. And that was included. The meals were included. They designate a couple of evenings where you're on your own, and you pay for those meals. But otherwise, all the meals are included. So that was really nice. You got to go out into the community. You know, you did a little walking, 2-3 blocks, or, you know, within nice distance.
And are there healthy options available on the meals?
Oh, yeah. And you can even indicate on your form, because you fill out this form with all of your information. If you're vegetarian, we had one girl on a trip who wanted everything gluten-free. So they were very aware, and they accommodated those.
Hmm.
They've just been doing this for 41 years, and for senior citizens, you know, basically. So they know all the tricks of the trade by now with this many. I wish I had the numbers, and I should have looked those up of how many. It's over hundreds. Yeah, hundreds of thousands of people go on these trips a year.
I'm sure.
When I'm thinking about travel, I know that there are some people who want to be busy all the time and some people who want to have some periods of downtime. Are there plans where there's downtime built in? Like, I think I saw something on the website. There's flex learning or city. You can kind of go out on your own. What are some of those?
When we were in New York City, it's really funny because we went to Hamilton's home before he was a musical that you had to pay $300 for a ticket in the back. Anyway, we had the option in the evening, in the afternoon. You could stay and rest if you wanted to. And you always have that option. You don't. You just let the leaders know if you don't feel well or if you've had enough walking for that day. But we would go. We went down to Hamilton. We went down to, I'm trying to think of some of the, Chelsea, what is the Food Network? Isn't it Chelsea where they are?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think it's enough to just get an idea of the kind of things that people do. So, I mean, I want our listeners to really appreciate the fact that there are affordable options for you when you retire, that you can spend a significant amount of your time learning and doing things. The paper you were hearing shuffling in the background a few minutes ago is a list of the activities from your last trip.
Yes, and I have, that's why I do these books. I'm, you know, I'm a journalist, so I can sit down at the, and use the computer from one of the photo services and do a book pretty easily. So that's why I do these. And these also remind me of our activities.
And so she's pointing to these books that represent each one of her trips, in which case it looks like a professionally published children's book, for example, hardcover. And it has a picture of the children, her grandchildren on front. And then inside are pictures from the trip along with description of each picture. That's really a clever idea.
Mm-hmm. That's their Christmas present the year we take the
Shutter
trip.
That is really clever.
Creefcore Camera does those.
So we ought to. Does Creefcore Camera do this? Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is really clever. It's a great idea. And to go on a trip with the intention of accumulating pictures, really cool, wonderful pictures, that are put together into a book.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen this done before, but I'm telling you, I would think I'd bought this book from a bookstore.
Yeah, and what's fun about those is you can upload your photos. I mean, a lot of them are online. Shutterfly is one, and Creefcore Camera I know has one. But you just upload the photos you want, and then you can arrange them however you want, put your text there. It's kind of the old-fashioned scrapbook made new. I don't handwrite and cut pictures very well, but I can point and click with the best of them, so...
Yeah, so that's it's kind of a cool thing you can do to add more memories to these trips.
Yeah, I think that's a great memory maker for families, and you know, to just do it when it's fresh, you've got it there, and it's part of this thing that we talk about a lot on this radio station and on this program is just leaving a legacy. I mean, it's not the stuff that we leave. It's the people that we invest in, and it's the trips. That's why these intergenerational experiences. I mean, no one is going to share that experience with you the way your grandkids are. Hey, Grandma, remember when we went to whatever? Remember when we did that Rose Bowl parade? We worked on that float. Yeah, I couldn't get that flower to go the way it was supposed to go. I mean, those are the things that are leaving your legacy and creating the heritage for your kids and your grandkids, and especially, like, during this holiday season, everybody thinks about it during the holidays. Why not do it year round?
And our message is not, just so people get this, our message is not that you have to leave your local community or your local home in order to establish these relationships. Of course not. But it's just that there are wonderful opportunities to have focused time doing really memorable things that sort of somehow implant themselves in your memories in a more visible way, just like it does for ourselves. Even if you remove, you know, our grandchildren from the discussion, we ourselves remember very vividly those new experiences we had when we were traveling. We were doing something very different from what we'd normally do. So I'm just a huge fan of the travel, and I think it offers abundant opportunities. And when you have grandkids, that.
And you realize that most of my trips have been with just adults. Mm-hmm. And then I've had four with grandchildren because I've, you know, four grandchildren. And this year I'm looking at one of my two twins. Somebody said, are you going to take the twins together, the twin girls? And I said, no, this is grandma time, and you take each separately. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the second twin this year.
How old are they?
There are 10. So it's perfect they all rotate into the. But the rest of them I've taken with adults, like my friends and my sister, who is a caregiver to my parents, and that's my way of kind of spending time with her, is to go on these trips. Each of these trips, we've had a really neat experience that kind of stands out in your mind. Here we are walking through the Library of Congress, and I don't know if you've seen it. If you haven't seen it in Washington, it's the most beautiful place. It really is. And like I said, our group leader worked there forever. Well, we're walking through, and there are about 30 adults, you know. We don't have any grandchildren. And we're walking through the library, and one of the little ladies with us goes, very, very offhand, "My grandpa did that." And it was a carving. And her grandfather had actually done some of the carvings that were in the Library of Congress. Mm. And she was a part of our travel group.
Huh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. You never know who you'll meet on these trips.
No.
It's amazing.
She was so, Tootie was her name. She was such a sweet little old lady, and we didn't know who she was. But evidently her grandpa was a sculptor, and so was her father.
Well, you know, in Washington, D.C., I don't think that people in the United States fully appreciate the sort of wonderful time, a very affordable time. I mean, most of the things that are really worth seeing are free, and it's a very affordable trip, and you could easily spend 2 weeks there and not touch a lot of the things that you would want to see. And there's just so much to do and learn there.
Well, and one of the benefits, I think, of going with a travel group is, you know, when I go to places like this, I want to, like, read all the little signs, and I read all the little signs and at the museums, and then it all gets muddled. And I tend to be, you know, I love hearing the stories, and that's what I think these experts can do, is they give you the stories in a way that you can remember it and process it and relate it to the different types of things that you've just seen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times that I go in a place when I'm traveling, and the only realistic option is you've probably missed the tour or it's full. That's the hands-on individual tours, right? You have to arrive at a certain time, etc., and or you miss that. It's simply unavailable in some places because it's very expensive to have a private tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go in a lot of these historic homes, there is no option. So what do you have? You have what used to be, remember those cassette players?
Uh-huh.
You carry around the cassette.
Oh, yeah. Now you have the interactive or whatever.
Now you have the digital recordings. But the point is, it's the same thing. It's an MP3, and you walk around with it, and you listen to this recording. I mean, it's just not as satisfying as having a person there that you can ask questions of.
Right, and they do know they've been asked everything, so they know the answers to the questions.
I mean, it's just a much better way to travel. I can certainly see that. So we're going to take a break. We have a couple minutes left, and we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about this wonderful organization, Rhodes Scholar, and I hope that we are challenging you to reach out and do different things in your retirement and to actively look for opportunities for new experiences. And there's no better way to do that than in travel. Back in a moment.
You're listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors. Presented by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. And now, attorney CPA, Joe Cordell.
Well, we're back with Elder Talk. This is Joe Cordell, and our guest is someone from Rhodes Scholar, R-O-A-D, Rhodes Scholar, Cecilia Fallert. Cecilia, before we went into the break, we were talking about some of the variety of trips that are available to people that are affordable. Affordability, incidentally, is a big issue. When we think about the people that we have on this show, and guests, we think about things that are useful to our audience. And we know that a budget is important. And we know that many of you may not travel as much as you'd like because it's not affordable to do it. So when I came across this Rhodes Scholar, this program, and looked it up, and I saw it was not for profit, and I saw this huge variety of trips, both within North America as well as internationally, I thought, you know, this is something that our listeners need to hear about. Mm-hmm. And then they have this thing called ambassadors, which, as we were talking about before the break, you know, they have people who volunteer, because, again, not for profit. It's so unusual in this industry or on this subject to be dealing with an organization that's not for profit. So they ask for volunteers, people who've traveled a lot in the organization who want to be an ambassador. And that's someone who's saying, yes, I'll accept invitations to, like, come on this show. I'll accept invitations to speak to groups and other things. And let them know about this wonderful organization. So that's what we have here. We don't have somebody who's selling something. We have someone who's here to tell you about this wonderful opportunity, a person who does it herself and has done many trips, mainly here in North America. We're going to have to get somebody on here, incidentally. We need an ambassador who's done a lot of the international, too.
You'd like that,
but,
huh?
But still, but nonetheless, I mean, you're giving us an understanding of the organization. So we've talked about what the various things might consist of. Aren't there also trips that are kind of event oriented? Meaning, like you mentioned the Rose Bowl, that would be an event.
Yes, I'm going to on the trip to California to Pasadena built around the Rose Bowl, and I will actually work on the floats.
What about other big trips?
Yeah,
Super Bowl?
Say you wanted to go to the – oh, I don't think they do the Super Bowl.
Boy, darn if you it. Could get tickets
well,
to that
I,
one.
I'm boycotting the NFL, so that's
now,
okay.
Now, we could have gotten tickets if we – I'm not interested in the Rose Bowl game, but we had the opportunity to get tickets if we wanted to do that. But the U.S. Open in New York.
And that, we're talking about tennis. U.S. Open.
Right. Okay. And when we were on our trip to New York City, which was called Signature City, our leader was talking about, well, in a couple of weeks I'll be taking people to the U.S. Open, and he knew all about it and what goes on there. And also, say you wanted to, you were a horse racing fan, and we may have some of those in St. Louis.
We have one here. And if you're about to say Kentucky Derby,
you could
are
go
you?
To the Kentucky Derby with yes. the Rhodes Scholar.
Yes. Now, I have that already in place. That's the only trip I have in place every year.
Yeah, we all have our bucket list, don't we?
I'm pretty sure you were there already.
Yes. But, you know, I can see where things like these specific events would be nice to go with a group. Mm-hmm. You go with a group who has someone there to show you around, answer all your questions, give you information about the trip. You know, you can go to the Kentucky Derby. I happen to be an authority on this subject. I've been going to the Derby, incidentally. I think I've been there 40 times.
Wow.
More than 40, actually. So I'm almost 60, and I think, without totaling them up here, I think that's 40-some-odd times I've been. My wife and I have been every year since we met, except
one year
we skipped. Or we were there, but we didn't actually attend the event. We were in Louisville. So I think that you can go to an event like that and very easily come back, and people will ask you to describe what you went to. Mm-hmm. And unless you have someone designated to show you around, explain to you the history, and give you all this information, which you're not going to stumble across.
Right.
And I'm just using the Derby as an example. I mean, without an organization like this where you have a designated expert who, when you arrive in town, you don't need someone to get you there. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're capable of getting your airfare. You're capable of arriving in town and maybe getting to your hotel, but then having thereafter an expert that takes over. I mean, I completely get this. And I know that people who go to the Kentucky Derby come back, and I talk to them about it, and I say, well, you know, you know the history of this, or you know why this is there. Did you go and look at this such and such while you're there? And they're just shaking their head saying, well, gee, I didn't know that. I mean, you know, we had our tickets, and we knew what time to show up to the Derby for the race.
But the Rhodes Scholar people would know. You're exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, without an expert waiting for you on trips, whether it's a single event or if it's just a trip to a destination, I mean, I think that you need an expert, but you want it affordable. And I think this organization just offers a marvelous choice, especially since I don't mind being in a trip with people who are different stages of life entirely than I am. Matter of fact, some of that's good, mm-hmm. but too much of it is not good. Meaning that when you go on a trip and you don't identify with but a couple of the other people on the trip that kind of see the world and remember it somewhat mm-hmm. in a familiar way. So I also like the fact that Rhodes Scholar is really focused on people that are above 55. And yet your grandkids are welcome and your kids are welcome, but it's really a thing where you'll be able to turn to your left and your right. And if you make reference to an event in 1970, you're not going to get this starry-eyed, glassy look.
I learned about that in history.
or more of these rolling eyes. And so I like all those aspects of this organization. We're almost out of time. You'd think that I have am on a commission from Rhodes Scholar. I'm just a fan. And we haven't. And let me issue this disclaimer: we haven't actually taken our first trip yet, because when I came across Rhodes Scholar, which was just about a month and a half ago, and I know another couple that goes, and this my pastor and his wife, in fact, mm-hmm. and they've gone several times And they just love it. My previous pastor, who is retired now, mm-hmm. but I mean, he and she really talked it up, and I knew if they liked it, we would like it. So that was when I started researching the organization. I came across you, Cecilia, or rather Susan Arthur came across you, and so here you are. What else should we say? We have about a minute or so left in winding up.
Yeah, I would just like to emphasize, if someone is interested in information about the group, there's an 800 number that's available 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, 800-454-7000. 5768. And they'll be happy to answer any questions. They'll sign you up for these wonderful, I think they're wonderful just to have around, magazines to go through. Or if you want to go on the website, and so many of us now are, you know, use our computer on a daily basis, just remember you spell it R-O-A-D, one word, S-C-H-O-L-A-R,
Road
for
Scholar.
The website, .org, because it's not for profit.
RhodesScholar.org. Wonderfully informative, Cecilia. I hope that we have managed to stimulate our listeners to look into this organization and to do some travel.
Great. So, I hope so, too. I think they would thoroughly enjoy themselves.
Okay, we're out of time. This is Joe Cordell. It's been Elder Talk. Till next time.
You've been listening to Elder Talk, providing smart strategies for seniors with attorney CPA Joe Cordell. Listen again next Saturday for another edition of Elder Talk, sponsored by Cordell Planning Partners, your elder law advisors. For more information, visit eldercarelaw.com. That's eldercarelaw.com. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.